You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, are you superstitious about winter? We talk to a folklore and paranormal researcher and author about all kinds of strange holiday season traditions, myths, and legends for the darkest days of the year. First, Michelle Good joins me. It's the year-end member drive here on the Ideas Network. You count on WPR for in-depth discussions. It's your support that keeps these conversations going strong. Your gift right now makes a big difference this year and as we head into 2022. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And last hour, we heard from 8 donors. Thank you to everyone who gave. You're really amazing. We've got a new goal this hour, 10 gifts. We're going to make this one this time.
Help pay for the programs you rely on every day when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Federal and state tax dollars, which do come from listeners like you, provide important funding for WPR programs. But voluntary listener contributions are actually the biggest piece of support for WPR programs.
You make the difference. You make the quality, variety, and independence of programs on WPR possible. Because Wisconsin Public Radio matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the programs you listen to at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this drive, we have something really special. Alliant Energy is partnering with WPR to provide hunger relief in Wisconsin. They'll match every meal raised through the food bank thank you gifts, up to $5,000 worth of meals.
And that means your thank you gift will provide an additional 25 or 50 meals to families in your area. Ask for yours now and you give $10 or $20 a month or more. Thank you for making a difference for your neighbors and the WPR programs you love at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Talk about spreading the love. That's really spreading the love. Maybe you remember listening to WPR as a child, or maybe your kids really enjoy certain programs.
Whether it's an interesting story on NPR News, a piece of music, or laughing along with the weekend shows, WPR sparked your imagination as a kid. It engages the minds of children today.
And you make all of that possible when you participate as a member. So please give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You're a part of WPR's community of listeners. Whether you've been listening for years or just a few months, you can become part of our community of members, people who support the programs they value.
And it really feels good. We talk about that, but there really is this difference you feel when you know you are helping make this quality, this entertainment, this information possible, not just to you, but to the rest of the state. And if you've never given before, start with a gift of $120, or better yet, make that an ongoing gift of $10 a month. But what matters is doesn't matter what the amount is. What matters is that you become a member, because the largest piece of our funding comes from members. So you'll really make a difference. And it all starts with that gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And hey, great news. We've already gotten 3 of our gifts that were toward our goal of 10 already, just since we started talking. Thank you so much for getting us off to a great start. WPR is listener powered by people just like those 3 people who made the gifts just in the last few minutes. That's why your gift matters right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And hopefully when they made those donations, they asked for one of the food bank gifts. Yes. when you make a donation of $5 or $20 a month. Again, Alliant Energy is partnering with us, and they will match every dollar raised through this thank you gift up to $5,000. So you're helping the community as well and those in need. So ask for yours, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Luann in Two Rivers says, I've been a sustainer for several years and try to increase my amount by even a few dollars during each fund drive. I feel every dollar helps. True.
Smart
WPR
woman.
Is my go-to source, Luann says, for top-notch programming and solid info on every subject aired. Thank you so much. What a great thing to do, Luann. You're already giving. You're nudging it up a little bit more when you can. Really appreciate it. How about you? Know that we count on you to help bring you the conversations that you count on each and every day. Make your gift right now in any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. This is Central Time. Stop me if you've heard this winter weather ghost story before. Three spectral figures haunt a stingy old man over the course of one very long Christmas Eve. Sound hauntingly familiar? That's right, it's Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Our next guest says, forget Halloween. Wintertime was historically the prime time for tales of haunted sightings and strange superstitions. You can join in. Do you have a local wintertime legend, story, folklore, or ghost story you'd like to share from your neck of the woods? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Chad Lewis is Eau Claire's own paranormal researcher, author, and lecturer. His books include Lumberjack Legends of the North Woods. He's going to give a talk about winter folklore and legends later this month outside the Sun Prairie Library. We've got him in advance of that event. Chad, welcome back to Central Time.
Happy December to you.
And to you. Now, before we get into some specific legends, Chad, I didn't know this. Wintertime historically was the time for our legends and spooky stories.
Most people wrongly believe that All Hallows Eve and Halloween is the spookiest season of the year. But when you start digging into the darkest days of the year, you find that those legends can't hold a candle to the winter superstitions, customs, and beliefs that are out there.
So why? Why do we love winter, or why did we used to love winter for our spooky stories?
Especially for those of us in the north, winter was the hardest time of the year. Darkness surrounded us, and in that darkness, we believed that spirits and evil creatures were lurking everywhere. It was a time when everything died for the season, and we weren't sure it was going to come back in fruitful amounts the following season. So we had to do all these rituals for not only our benefit, our financial survival, but also our sanity.
And I suppose we didn't have TVs, so we were stuck inside with friends and family and had to do something to keep us entertained.
Imagine being snowed into your one-room cabin with eight people living there. No indoor plumbing, no electricity. Heat was by fire only. And you might not leave for several weeks. It was too cold, only to get firewood. Today, we've never had it easier with, you know, Wisconsin Public Radio at our fingertips, Netflix, electricity, indoor plumbing. But yet, we think winter is very hard, which it is, but step back 100 years and most of us might not have survived.
Now, let's get into some specific legends and superstitions too. Now, we haven't had big, huge snows yet through most of the state. Knock on wood, I guess. There's a superstition. But I understand, Chad, there are a lot of superstitions associated with bringing about snowy weather. What kind of things are out there?
I wish I would have known this when I was in grade school, but there are things that you can do to help bring about a snow day for your school. Everything from putting a spoon under your pillow when you sleep, that will entice more snow to fall on your town. Wearing your pajamas inside out and backwards would bring more snow. Dumping ice cubes into your toilet, one ice cube for every inch of snow that you want in your area. So kids would partake in these throughout history, trying to bring about snow days.
I've done that pajama thing, but that was just on accident, I think. And I don't know that that was really I don't know if I made it snow, though. Have you tried it, Chad?
I have tried it, and obviously it's hit and miss. But it's meant to encourage snow, not necessarily bring it about, but to help show your respect for the season and just give it that nudge you need to reach the barrier of a school closing.
All right. We got a lot of holidays, solstices, Christmas, New Year's Eve coming up in Wisconsin. What are some of your favorite holiday pieces of folklore or legends?
Holidays are surrounded by customs and legends. One that both applies to Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve is opening a door or window at midnight. For Christmas, it's to allow the Christmas season, even if you don't celebrate the holiday, allow the Christmas spirit into your home at midnight on Christmas Eve. The same thing for New Year's Eve, but in that regard, it's not only allowing the new year to come in and for you to be prosperous and healthy, but allow all the bad stuff of the previous year to exit. And of course, in 2021, there's a lot of that negativity that you're going to want to shoo out of your house.
We're talking to folklore and paranormal researcher Chad Lewis about some of his favorite winter legends and folklore from Wisconsin and beyond. If you have a local wintertime legend that you'd like to share, I'd love to hear about it at 800-642-1234. A seasonal superstition that you hold personally or maybe you grew up with, 800-642-1234 is the number. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk about winter legends, folklore, and frozen ghost stories with paranormal researcher and folklore researcher, author and lecturer from Eau Claire, Chad Lewis. Now, Chad, we focused on Wisconsin some, but you look at legends all over the world. What are some of the most far-flung ones you've encountered?
Christmas season and winter season, I love the old country celebrating Krampus, the Christmas monster, where he would accompany St. Nicholas. And while St. Nicholas would give candy, coins, and treats to children who left their shoes out for him, Krampus was a little bit different. He was Santa's enforcer, if you will, where he would bring a switch and whip the kids who had been naughty. And he looks like some demon out of Hollywood with a long tongue and goat-like hooves and huge horns on his head. And he would whip the naughty children. And believe it or not, people used to send holiday greeting cards to one another with a depiction of Krampus abusing children, saying, "Greetings from Krampus. Hope you have a wonderful holiday season." And for hundreds of years, people would send these out. And it's a tradition I continue to do to this very day to a lot of my probably not very happy friends and family.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Nick is with us in Green Bay. Nick, hi.
Hey, I got a really weird thing. My wife is from the UP. She's a military brat, so she's all over the country, but she mostly spent her time in the UP. So when we had kids, I said, "Well, St. Nick's coming tonight." And she's like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "Really? St. Nick?" I said, "You can't like let the kids not do St. Nick." I said, "They'll get picked on at school." And she had never heard of it before, so I thought that was really strange.
Now, St. Nick or Santa, in, like even if you said Santa Claus?
Oh, I call it St. Nick, but yeah. It always comes, you know.
And just, I got to ask, is she from like a Christian background and just a family that didn't observe Santa Claus?
Oh, yeah. Her mother is extremely religious, so I'm really surprised, but she just never heard of it. They never did it before.
Interesting. Nick, thanks a lot for the call. Now, I know, Chad, some of the first anti-Christmas movements in the United States were the Puritans, who thought it was too much foo-for-all, I think, to go with a Christian holiday. So that's, in American history, his story, Nick's story, isn't necessarily that out there.
It's not. Although it's rare these days where whether you call him Santa Claus, Father Christmas, Saint Nick, he's known around the world by numerous names. Even those who don't adhere to the celebration of the holiday, it's the most iconic portion of the winter that most people are familiar, at least with today's version of Santa Claus with the red and white trimmed clothing. Although in the olden days, he was seen more of wearing green clothes and more of a jolly little elf. But today, I think he's become bigger than just someone who delivers presents to children. He's the bringer of hope, the bringer of inspiration, that guiding force to bring cultures from around the world together. And that's something that he hadn't done in the past.
Now, you don't just look at legends and supernatural. You look at also stories from Wisconsin history, a lot of shipwreck history in the Great Lakes. Can you remind us of the story of the Christmas tree shipwreck?
Years ago, in the 1800s, early 1900s, a captain would go to Lake Michigan up in the north, bring down Christmas trees all the way through Wisconsin down to Chicago to the families down there. And it was in 1912 when they encountered terrible weather on Lake Michigan, and they set off with their ship full of Christmas trees, trying to make it down for Christmas time, and their ship went missing. And for years, nobody knew what was happening, what happened to it. Finally, they discovered it at the bottom of Lake Michigan near Two Rivers, Wisconsin, back in 1971. And since that time that divers went down there, people would see a phantom ship matching that description carrying Christmas trees out on Lake Michigan on stormy nights. And it's so fitting because last night on Wisconsin Public Television, they had the Shipwrecks documentary, which featured the Christmas tree as well.
And I don't want to let you go, Chad. That was a little ghost story related to that one. Do you have a favorite seasonal winter ghost story you could share with us?
I do. I love ghost stories, and Christmas was the time, the winter. And it was a belief that when you sat around the fire telling ghost stories, that if you did not see your shadow on the wall, it meant that you were not going to survive the next year. So I can imagine families scrambling to make sure everybody had a position where a fire would cast a shadow on the walls. And that's just one of the many things that would cause your death in this season. Everything from sitting under a pine tree on Christmas Eve. If you hear angels singing, it means you will see angels very shortly.
And Chad, big picture, why do you love these stories and legends so much? And not just studying them yourself, but sharing them with others.
For me, it's the bigger picture. When I'm hanging up lights on the house or a tree, I feel like this is something that's been done for thousands of years when people put out wood and candles and fire to ward off the darkness. It really makes you feel part of something bigger when you're looking at the night sky in the dark, cold winter, knowing that thousands of years ago, people were doing the same thing, the same customs. And I think that gives comfort and solace for a lot of people, especially in a time we need it.
And Chad, do you reckon you're going to get a visit from Santa or Krampus this year? I don't know how your year's been.
Well, I have no doubt that I'm probably on Krampus's side more. And Krampus comes the night of December 5th into December 6th. Ooh. So the good news is you haven't missed it. But Rob, the bad news is that only gives you a couple days to turn your behavior around.
All right. Thanks for the warning, Chad. I will clean up my act. Thanks, as always, for joining us today.
Keep an eye out.
That's Chad Lewis, paranormal researcher, author, and lecturer from Eau Claire. We talked to him today about some of his favorite wintertime legends and scary stories ahead of a talk he's going to give on the subject later this month. You can catch him in the park across from the Sun Prairie Library on Saturday, December 11th, starting at 5 p.m. The event's free. All donations will go to support the library there. Coming up, a new poll shows that women's sports keep getting more popular, but we'll find out why they aren't always getting the media coverage to match. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio year-end membership drive. Michelle Good joins me. Your financial support is the foundation for all the great conversations you enjoy here every day. Make your tax-deductible year-end gift now for 2021 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've got about 35 minutes left in this hour, and we're almost halfway to our goal. We need six more people to join in. When you give, you fund Central Time and all the other WPR programs you count on. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just had a fun conversation with Chad Lewis, a pretty regular guest here on the Ideas Network over the years. He loves all the ghost stories and legends and folklore and historical tales from Wisconsin and around the Midwest. It's an example of the kind of fun and interesting conversation you can count on here on Central Time.
I loved it. It was so quirky. WPR is listener supported. That means you, your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the fun we have here on Central Time that you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you and then make that gift.
Now, hang on here, Michelle. Hear me out.
Yeah.
Okay, we're on a countdown to Krampus here. Just a few days off,
right.
Chad said. Four days.
I see where
you're
going.
You see
going.
Where I'm going?
Yes, I do.
If you're not sure if, Krampus is going to show up with that switch based on your behavior this year, maybe you need just a little good deed to tip the balance away from Krampus.
And this is a great deed, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're giving to Wisconsin Public Radio. And you could do that, that food bank gift thing,
double,
10 or
double,
20 bucks
yes,
a month.
Yep.
Krampus, I mean, I can't guarantee this. I can't. But
oh, you have an
I'll say you increase the odds. I don't. Okay. You increase the odds of avoiding a Krampus visit this year when you give. You can't take that to the bank, but that's what I think. So make that gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Help. Help Krampus-proof your weekend.
And a great way to do that is to become a sustaining member. As a sustainer, really easy. You're just making ongoing monthly donations right from your bank account or your credit card.
A lot of people give $10 or $20 a month. You choose whatever amount is right for you. Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Here at Wisconsin Public Radio, we are definitely beholden to our share members. Shareholders, except in this case, our shareholders happen to be members who are listeners like you, who value thoughtful, independent programming and support it with their donations. Now, we know you hear the difference between us and commercial radio every single day, and that's why you choose Wisconsin Public Radio.
Right now, we're asking you to become a shareholder, in effect, in Wisconsin Public Radio. Make your monthly gift online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
It's really hard to get what you pay for these days, but every once in a while it works out and you actually get more than you pay for. WPR is one of those places where that is true every single day. So consider a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs that you love.
It's hard to buy a lot for $2, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes a lot of news and talk and music possible. That works out to $60 a month. You can make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
About 30 minutes left, and we are still looking for six more people to join the Wisconsin Public Radio team. Your gift today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It ensures a bright future for all the programs that you rely on.
Robert in Mequon says, I support the fair and in-depth reporting on interesting topics. Kathleen in Madison says, WPR has exceptional programs. Thank you both for giving. How about you? Make your very important contribution right now online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll learn about the rising popularity of women's sports and the push for more media coverage. First, Michelle Good joins me. It's the year-end member drive, your chance to support the programs that you count on every day here on the Ideas Network, programs that keep you in touch, informed, entertained, and inspired. Your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important as we end the year. And look forward to 2022.
And we have 25 minutes left to meet this goal. We still need six more people to join in. Please make that call. Your gift right now is so important because when you give, you support the programs that you rely on every day.
Thanks so much if you've already given. If not, if you're just pulling up at home right now or getting ready to leave work for home, take just a few minutes. And make a gift. You can do it online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
In just a month, there are hundreds of discussions on the Ideas Network. And when you support with a donation, you're essentially making all of those conversations possible. So take that simple, powerful step right now when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
As the donor, you get to decide how much to give. Maybe $100 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
That might be what you spend every month on takeout or entertainment, for example. Things you enjoy and that make life better. Just like listening to WPR, the important thing is that you decide what amount is right for you and then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Michelle Orge, President and CEO of Second Harvest Food Bank of Southern Wisconsin. The pandemic has been devastating to our community, but thanks to our incredible supporters, we've been able to help thousands of people who never thought they'd turn to the emergency food system for help. The pandemic isn't over, and neither is the ongoing need to support our community. We don't know what's next. We're prepared for anything, and with your help, we can do a lot.
This drive, let the impact of your gift go beyond the WPR programs you love. Alliant Energy is partnering with us to help feed families in Wisconsin. They'll match up to 12,500 meals provided through Food Bank Thank You Gifts. Ask for yours today when you give $10 or $20 a month. Here's how.
You can make that gift and choose the Food Bank Thank You Gift when you go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Michelle Good. Your support during this year-end member drive makes the WPR programs you count on possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, really does make a difference.
Your donation is so powerful. We talk about that all the time. But then hearing that spot, I thought, wow, people really can make a huge difference with during this drive. And supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now, it's really a great thing to do, and it just takes a couple minutes of your time. We just need your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
As we're approaching the end of the year, we're so grateful that Wisconsin Public Radio has such strong listener support. One gift at a time, listeners provide our largest source of funding. If you haven't given yet this year, now is the time. You can help out people who are food compromised in your neighborhood and support the programs you love with an extra year-end gift. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Help us hit our goal this hour. Help people in need of food with that Food Bank Thank You Gift, and you give $10 or $20 a month or more. And give because you count on Wisconsin Public Radio. You count on the Ideas Network for great conversations, for things that inspire and entertain, that help you understand the state, the world around you. And because you understand that we count on you to help pay for all of that, to help make it happen. We couldn't be the service we are without gifts from you and people just like you around the state and around the world. Join in with your gift right now. You can do it online at WPR.org or give a call at 888-202-2552, and thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Women's sports have seen rising television ratings over the last few years as their popularity hits all-time highs. Viewership of the WNBA was up nearly 70% last year, and over the summer, the Women's College Baseball Championship drew more viewers than an NHL playoff game played on the same day. Despite the growth, coaches, players, and fans of women's sports say they still can't find enough coverage of their teams and leagues. And sometimes the games themselves are hard to find on television. Jane McManus is the director of the Center for Sports Communication at Marist College and a former ESPN reporter who now writes a sports column at Deadspin. Jane, thanks a lot for joining us today. Jane, a new poll you conducted at Marist shows that a lot of sports fans want to see more coverage of women's sports. Can you tell us about the results you found? Oop, nope, we don't have Jane there. I think I hear her in the background. In the meantime, I'll remind you, you can make a contribution to conversations, hopefully like this next one, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make a gift in support of everything you count on here on the Ideas Network. And if you have thoughts, do you think that there's not enough coverage of women's sports in the media? It's too hard to see the games. You can call our other number. That's the 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Are you a fan of a particular women's sports team, college or pro? Let us know, 800-642-1234. Or you can post over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Are you a athlete yourself, women's athlete? Do you feel like your team is supported by your local community, your campus, and beyond? Do you want to see the pros in whatever your sport is on TV? Okay, I think we have our guest now. Jane, can you hear me?
I sure can. This is one of these great things about Zoom in the modern era is that occasionally things just don't work right.
Oh, we know that here. For sure. Well, Jane, I wanted to ask about that new poll now you have from Marist there, showing that a lot of sports fans say they want to see more coverage of women's sports. So what did you find?
Well, we found kind of that it depends on your age, and demographics definitely play a role in this, but particularly among younger fans, women, obviously, and people of color, that there really is a call for more coverage of women's sports, but also wanting to see more representation of women in roles such as coaches and managers in professional sports. So it was overwhelming among all sports fans, but particularly among those fans who are younger and women and people of color.
Now, in a column you wrote about your poll results, you pointed toward a disconnect between the fans who you say your poll show want to see women's sports on TV and more women, you know, announcers, commentators, and as you just said, coaches, and the people making decisions what to cover in the sports media world. What do you see on that end?
Right. Well, I think that the people who are in decision-making roles in major networks are often white men and older white men generally as well. That does change, and of course, it's, you know, it's not universal, but generally the decision making is being done by the demographic that isn't as interested in seeing women's sports. I think fans over the last couple of years, we've really seen some trends, whether it's in ratings, whether it's in social media engagement with female athletes, whether it's women and men who are soccer fans lining the Canyon of Heroes in New York City and chanting equal pay as the U.S. women's soccer team takes its victory parade after winning the World Cup in 2019 in France. These are all pointing in the same direction, that there is an audience for women's sports, a greater audience than is necessarily seen by those network executives.
Is there some chicken and egg here where the popularity of women's sports might be more if it was broadcast more, but then broadcasters are going to say if women's sports were more popular, we'd broadcast them more?
Well, I think that's certainly been true in the past, that networks could always point to, we don't show the sports because people don't watch, except that now you do have social media, which is another metric and which is independent of the decisions that the networks make. So, for example, when you have Megan Rapinoe, who's a, you know, soccer player for the U.S. women's national team, and she has, you know, more followers than most men on social media, on Instagram, and when she is able to engage with an audience independent of that, or you know, certainly women in terms of as sports fans, the engagement level is very high on social media with the icons that they follow. So you have this independent metric, which is showing that more and more people want to engage with these athletes. And yet they have a hard time having games be broadcast. Certainly also a big thing that we see just anecdotally is that women's sports aren't necessarily discussed in the same way as men's sports are during sports programming on network TV. Like, so ESPN, for example, might have a show like First Take, and, you know, the U.S. women's national team, you know, they're generally going to come up, but some sort of, like, you know, the latest women's basketball game might not come up. So there are a lot of sports that, and a lot of topics that kind of get left on the cutting room floor, not because there isn't the interest there, but that because they don't fit into the, or don't seem to fit into the regular stream of topics covered by some of those shows.
Talking to Jane McManus, director of the Center for Sports Communication at Marist College, looking at a growing popularity for many women's sports, but not a growing media exposure in terms of broadcast, for example, for a lot of those sports. In a recent poll from Marist College asking people what they thought about that. Do you see, Jane, anybody who you think is doing it right, making more room for women's sports in their sports broadcasts?
Certainly major networks have more space now than they did before, but it's been so incremental. I think what you are seeing is that there are now women in sports media, women who are athletes, who are kind of taking the reins. For example, there's a startup called Just Women's Sports that got a lot of funding from Kevin Durant's group. So they're trying to cover women's sports the way that men's sports have been covered in the past, as seriously and as comprehensively. And I think you also see women who are, you know, athletes, you know, for example, you know, Sue Bird or Julie Foudy, Mia Hamm. These women are now in Elena Deladon are investing in other women's sports. Naomi Osaka and Serena Williams are another two who've invested in National Women's Soccer League teams over the last year. So I think what you have are women who kind of firsthand seen how little coverage and attention that they get in the conventional sports media, kind of saying we need to find ways around these gatekeepers now. And they're doing that by investing in startups, investing in the teams that are that actually play, and that's a way to try to kind of create a new ecosystem for coverage of women's sports.
Is there a generational impact here? I'm just thinking of the WNBA has been around long enough now that players playing now might have had the opportunity to see a game when they were younger. And the Mia Hamm World Cup team for women's soccer, the players playing now might have watched that World Cup victory. Is there a long-term payoff if people are seeing these women's sports on TV?
Sure. And a great way to look at that is, it's been 50 years in June. It'll have been 50 years since the passage of Title IX. I was born in 1971, so that's a year before Title IX was passed. I kind of feel like my career trajectory, when I started covering sports, I started covering sports in 1997. So that's the year that the WNBA launched. 2 years later, you had the Women's World Cup and the Rose Bowl, filled the Rose Bowl, great TV ratings. And so I've kind of seen firsthand through the duration of my career, a lot of these milestones. And I do think you do have some of that happening now, where there's this kind of matriculation almost of these interests. It does take about a generation, and certainly more than that in some major men's sports leagues like the NFL and baseball and the NHL, for them to really gain traction. I mean, people think of the NFL as something that started off as a monolith, but it really didn't. It took a couple of generations to really invest in it. There were a lot of teams that moved around back then, and they're still doing that today, of course, but I mean, you really do kind of see that now you have these generational fans that are also really engaged by women's sports, but also for whom women's sports are really important part of the landscape. And I think this also may be part of it, is that, women may not watch games necessarily in the same way that men do women's sports, but at the same time, the women who play and the idea of equity are incredibly important to them. And so they are invested in women's sports and in the women that they follow, but it may not be in exactly the same way that men have invested in men's sports over the years.
Jen, in the past, I've talked to women who work as sports reporters about some of the toxic atmosphere of working in sports reporting from a certain group of men, male sports fans, really just nasty response to them. Do you think in the sports world, in the sports broadcasting world, there's a fear of that community that if we do more focus on women's sports, we're going to get this backlash from somebody who's like it or not part of our core audience here?
Oh, 100%. And I think, you have to remember that a huge part of this is advertising. Who is it that network? How do networks make money? They make money off of running ads and advertising to specific concentrated audiences of men. And I think this has been really part of the reason it's been so hard for women's sports to break in, because women's sports, they attract more men than women in your average sports audience. At the same time, though, it dilutes the audience of men. So what ads are you selling? And this is something that I saw firsthand when I worked at ESPN. What ads are you going to be selling to that audience? And so not only is it that you don't want to alienate the men that you are selling, whose eyeballs you are selling to the advertisers. And I think you're exactly right that has been a big part of it. There is a lot of the forces that keep women's sports from being taken seriously are often the forces that have affected women in sports media. So there is the misogyny. There's this, the hegemonic masculinity that kind of is part of the decision making process. That is definitely something that women's sports have had to fight against, and have kept them from some of the coverage and the audience that they could have been connecting with all this time.
Jane, as we wrap up, in the next couple of years, what kind of dominoes are you hoping to see fall to get more women's sports in easily accessible broadcast platforms?
Well, I think what you're going to see is that this is an audience that is monetizable, the audience for women's sports. So somebody is going to be taking advantage of that. It may not be the traditional players in sports media, but you're going to have, some people are going to try to figure out, okay, how is it that women are watching and consuming sports differently? And how can we cater to them as a fan base, as opposed to just trying to reform, put the formula for men's sports on top of that sport. And I think you're going to have people actually taking a crack at it. I think you look at Gatorade and you know, giving a name, image, and likeness contract to Paige Bueckers, who's a young women's basketball player. And, you know, this is the most expensive deal that Gatorade has made in this space. And going for a woman in the college space in order to be able to make this statement. I think you see more and more advertisers. You look at Victoria's Secret coming to Megan Rapinoe and making her a spokesperson. And I think you see more and more companies don't want to be left behind because they see what's trending. The audience for women's sports is growing, while the audience for many men's sports, traditional men's sports, particularly baseball, are shrinking and graying. So I think if you look into the future, a lot of smart advertisers are looking and thinking that women's sports is a great way to invest their advertising dollars.
Jane, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
Anytime. Enjoyed the conversation.
That's Jane McManus, sports columnist and director of the Center for Sports Communication at Marist College. She joins us for a look at women's sports and calls for more coverage in the sports media world. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio year-end member drive. Michelle Good is with me now. Join in and support the programs you count on all year long with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When we have five more people join in the next 5 minutes or so, we will meet our goal. We'll be super excited, but it's also really important because these goals are set up to help us have the funding for the programs that you enjoy. So make your donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just had a great conversation about women's sports, their popularity, their lack of visibility sometimes in the broadcast world with an expert who worked in that world, now studies it. It's an example of the kind of well-informed conversation you can count on here on Central Time.
And WPR is listener-supported. That means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, it makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
During this drive, you can provide hunger relief in your area. Ask for one of the food bank thank you gifts. There are options available at $10 or $20 a month.
Alliant Energy is partnering with us on this, and right now they're matching every meal given through the food bank thank you gifts. That could mean an extra 2,500 meals for your community, or 12,500 meals for your community, even more impressive. So increase your impact with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
At Wisconsin Public Radio, we ask you to decide how much to give. And no matter what you choose, you get 24 hours a day of news, talk, music, and entertainment in return. That's a great deal. Where do you wish you could get that kind of deal?
Just about anywhere. My education, a vacation, or anything really I could think about spending, I wish I could choose to pay.
Oh, beer?
A great Italian meal.
During this pledge drive, we ask you to contribute as generously as you can. And, unlike with other things, you'll always be the one to decide how much to give.
You can make that decision and then go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your very important donation in support of the programs you count on. Central Time, Rob Ferret here with Michelle Good, looking for your support to keep all the programs you enjoy going strong. Whether you give $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
Still looking for five more people? You know, you've made the decision to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. Now make the decision to support WPR financially.
Member contributions power the programs you rely on. Your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 supports your future listening.
And if you've never given to Wisconsin Public Radio before because you don't think that you can give enough to make a difference, think again, because it's gifts from thousands of people combined together that make WPR programs possible.
Make your gift right now. It really does make a difference. Do it online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio.